Today's daf is Shkalim daf Tazayin. The entire daf today is dedicated to a discussion of the Aron and the Shemen HaMishcha. We're going to discuss. We already started to discuss how many Arons there were, whether there was one Aron or there were two Aronos, one that went out to Milchama with Klal Yisrael, and we're going to mention the different items that may have been hidden away during the end of the Tkufa of the first Beis HaMikdash, and whether the Aron was on that list of things that were hidden away at the end of the Tkufa of the first Beis HaMikdash. And then we're going to have Machlokes about how they made the Shemen HaMishcha and whether there, how many Nisim were involved in the making of the Shemen HaMishcha, when the Shemen HaMishcha was used, which kinds of kings required Shemen HaMishcha, and which kinds of kings just sort of took over the job. Kohanim Gedolim, how they used the Shemen HaMishcha. We're going to have sources that Kohanim cannot serve as kings. Then we're going to have Then we're going to go back to the discussion about the Aron. We're going to have Machlokas about the size of the Aron and exactly how everything that needed to fit inside of the Aron actually fit by figuring out the exact measurements of the Aron. We have Machlokas about how it was made. Was it made by having three boxes, one inserted inside the other, like we're used to thinking, like Rashi says in Chumash, or was it made as one single unit, one box? We're going to have four opinions about how many Dibros were written on each of the tablets, on each of the Luchos, which also is something we're used to assuming like one opinion, but there are four different opinions about how that worked out. And at the very end, before Halacha Beis, the Gemara is going to tell us that Torah is considered to be like fire. But we left off, Misha Nignas Ha'aron, Nignas Imot, and Senes Haman, on Tez Zayin Amal Aleph, on the third line. Misha Nignas Ha'aron, Nignas Imot, and Senes Haman, when the Aron was hidden away, assuming that it was hidden away, together with it, the little jug of man that's referred to in Perek Tez Zayin of Sefer Shemos, where the Pasuk says, V'yom Moshel Aron, Kach Tzantzenes Achas, V'tein Shama Mloa Omer, you should take one little jug and put a Meloha Omer of Man, and leave it l'mishmeres l'doroseichem. It's supposed to be for mishmeres forever. So that Tzantzenes Haman was also hidden away with the Aron, together with Utzlochus Shemen HaMishcha, a little jug of Shemen HaMishcha as well, u'makolos shel Aron u'prachu v'shkedav, the staff of Aron with that which grew on the staff, as described in the Chumash, the miracle of the flowers and the almonds that grew from the staff of Aron, v'argos sheshiv as well as the extra box of gold that contained golden kalim that the Plishtim sent when they took the Aron and they sent back the Aron after HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them and put them through a whole series of Yisurin as a result of their stealing the Aron. So when they returned the Aron, they also sent gifts with it, and the gifts came in this box. So that box always remained with the Aron. The Pasuk says, Tasimu va'argas mitzi do, that box that was always going to remain by its side. So it always remains by the side of the Aron. Mi genazo, who hid the Aron? Yoshiyahu genazo, Yoshiyahu hid the Aron. Kivan shorah shekasav, since he saw that the Pasuk says, Yoluch Hashem oscha v'esmalkecha, asher takum alecha el goy asher lo yadata, atav avosecha. He knew that we were going into Galus, and he was afraid that when we go into Galus, the Aron was going to come with us. So Amadu genazo, he got up and he decided to hide the Aron so that it doesn't end up in Galus. Hadahu d'chsiv, that's what the Pasuk says in Divrei Yamim, v'yomer l'levim ha'mevinim l'chol Yisrael ha'kadoshim l'Hashem, t'nu as Aron ha'kodesh v'beis asher bana Shlomo ben David melech Yisrael, ein lechem masa b'kasef. He said, go and take the Aron and put it somewhere in the Beis HaMikdash. Keep it hidden on the premises of the Beis HaMikdash. Amar lehem, im golahu imachem lebavel, because Yoshio said that if this Aron ends up going together with Klal Yisrael into Bavel, we're never going to be able to bring it back to its place. Even if we're able to come back, even when we're able to come back from Bavel and we're able to bring back everything else with us from Bavel, but the Aron is going to be too enticing for them to keep in Bavel. The Goyim are going to want it. They're not going to want to give it back to us. So if the Aron comes to Bavel, it's not going to come back. We have to leave the Aron in Eretz Yisrael. Ela'ata, ivdu es Hashem elokechem ves amu Yisrael. You have to be over Hashem and ves amu Yisrael, and you have to be gonez the Aron. That was the instruction of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Now there is a machlokas, Rambam and Ramban, whether the Levim were the ones who carried the Aron. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Lamed Daled, writes that only Kohanim carry the Aron. The Ramban in Shorash Shlishi says, disagrees and says that the Kohanim and Levim are both kosher to carry the Aron Min HaTorah, because both Kohanim and Levim are called Levim. So now it goes, Yafa Maris says over here, it's a Raya L'chara to the Shita of the Ramban, that the mitzvah of carrying the Aron is on the Kohanim and on the Levim, because Yoshio was speaking to the Levim that they should carry the Aron to put it into hiding. So it sounds like it was the job of the Levim to do so, to carry the Aron. But in the Shari Karban, he writes that it's not a Raya from here to the Ramban, because we do find the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Pei Vavam Beis, the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Chav Dalet Am Beis, that B'chav Dalet Mekomos Nikru HaKohanim Levim, V'zeh Echad Mehem, that there are 24 places where Kohanim are referred to as Levim, and this is one of those places. So it's not going to be a Raya, just because you have the term Levim being used, that it's necessarily not referring to Kohanim, that in this situation it's Kohanim.
Associated with
Kahuna. Okay, very good. Yeah, so very good. Right, so that would be a good ha'ara. Also, to point out, Rav Shechter in his first sefer Eretz HaTzvi in Simeon Yud Beis, Oz Hey points out, he discusses the idea of Kedusha, of Tashmishei Kedusha versus Tashmishei Mitzvah, and he points out that how do we define which kinds of items are going to be require Geniza after they're done, and which kinds of items can just be Nizrakin, can just be thrown out after they're done. Tashmishei Mitzvah, typically we say, are thrown out. Tashmishei Kedusha require Geniza. But what's the defining line of what makes something Tashmishei Mitzvah versus Tashmishei Kedusha? Why is tzitzis something that you could throw out afterwards, a beget of tzitzis, you throw it afterwards, but tefillin needs geniza afterwards? What's the difference? So he develops the yisod that the difference is anything that relates to ksav shel Torah is tashmishei kedusha. So tefillin has parshios, there's ksav shel Torah, that's tashmishei kedusha. Anything that doesn't relate to ksav shel Torah is only going to be tashmishei mitzvah. So lulav and esrog is tashmishei mitzvah, it doesn't relate to ksav shel Torah. So he raises the issue, what about Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses? Why is Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses Tashmishei Kedusha and not just Tashmishei Mitzvah? Where is the Ksav Shel Torah of Kedusha's Beis HaKnesses? A building. So he points out that from Rav Salvechik that the Iker Kedusha of the Mishkan was the Aron with the Luchos. That's why the Mishkan is called the Mishkan Ha'edus, Al Shem the Luchos Ha'edus, that it's the Ramban al Torah in Parshas Truma says that the purpose of the Asiyas HaMishkan was to extend the Hashras HaShchina of Maimon Har Sinai into Klal Yisrael, to be a more permanent residence of Hashras HaShchina. So the Iker of Maimon Har Sinai was what? Was Matan Torah. That was the whole point of the Hashras HaShchina. So the whole Iker idea of the Beis HaMikdash was to be a Hemshech of Torah. That was the whole idea. So a Beis HaMikdash, he suggests, without Luchos, is not a Beis HaMikdash. A Beis HaMikdash only has Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash if there is Torah there, if the Luchos are actually present. He says that's why Yoshio HaMelech was Ganaz B'Makomo. The Rambam paskins this. It's a very strange thing for the Rambam to paskin whether the Aron was Nignaz or not. We have this Machlokas, whether it went to Galus or not. The Rambam in the fourth paragraph of Hilchos Beis HaBechira says that when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash and he knew that one day it was going to be destroyed, he built a special spot to hide the Aron in, deep down in tunnels underneath the Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo HaMelech prepared a spot to hide the Aron in, and Yoshio HaMelech was Tziva V'Nignaz of B'Makom Shabana Shlomo. He was the one that made the decision, okay, now it's time to hide it, now it's time to put it away in the spot that Shlomo HaMelech made. So Rav Salvechik explained in the Shitas of Rambam, why is the Rambam telling us this? What is this historical fact? Why is the Rambam paskening this? So he says, no, what the Rambam is telling us is that there could not have been a second Beis HaMikdash without an Aron at all. Now, the second Beis HaMikdash didn't have the Aron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in its normal place, but it was there. It was hidden underground. Without Kedushas Aron, there is no Kedushas Mikdash. And that matters to us as well, because we have Kedushas Mikdash also. We have a Mikdash Ma'at. Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is a miniature Beis HaMikdash. So if a Beis HaKnesses doesn't have an Aron with a Sefer Torah in it, there is no Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. That's where the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses emanates from. That's what he suggests in the Sefer Eretz Tzvi. So weiter in the Gemara now discusses the Pitum Shemen HaMishcha, how they would make the Shemen HaMishcha. So Pitum Shemen HaMishcha, what would they do? So the Pesukim describe in Shemos Perek Lamed, You should take for yourself, the pasuk says, b'samim rosh mar drar, and gives exact numbers of each of the different spices that you need. V'kida chamish meos v'gomer, and it tells us all the different spices. Shehin elef chamish meos manim. It's a total of 1,500 manim of ingredients. Shemen zayis hin, shnei masar log, shabo sholkin asi ikrin. So they would take these spices, and they would cook them in 12 log of oil. Divrei Reb Meir, that's Reb Meir shita. Reb Yehuda omer, sholkon haya, b'mayim. He says, no, first they would cook the besamim in water, v'nosein, so that the water will be absorbed into the besamim, not the oil, and then v'nosein shemen al gabehem, and then they would put the oil on top of the sammanim in order that the shemen should absorb some of the smell and some of the flavor of the spices. Mishaya kolet es hareach hayam aviro, and as soon as it got some of the reach from the spices, then they would remove the shemen, kederek shapatominosin, like people who make these kinds of shemen do all the time. Hadoduksiv, shemen mishchas kodesh v'gomer. That's the pasuk, shemen mishchas kodesh. But the bottom line is, we have a machlokes. Did they cook the oil with the spices, or did they cook water with the spices and then just use oil to absorb some of the reyach of those spices? So there is, this machlokes is recorded in Talmud Bavli as well, as many of the things that we've been discussing are recorded in Talmud Bavli. It's in Krisus Daf Hey. And the Gemara over there says that if you hold up beforehand, they're vashal the besamim in water, that shita says that he's much more mistaver than the shita that holds that they would just be mevashal in the shemen. Because if they're mevashal in the shemen, there wouldn't be any shemen left. You have 1,500 manim of spices and 12 log of oil, just by what would be absorbed in the cooking process itself, you're not going to have any oil left to use for the shemen amishcha. So he says, how could that possibly be how they made the shemen amishcha? And the response is, what do you mean, how could it possibly be? How could anything possibly be? Maisenes, who was Nisim in the Shemana Mishcha. And the response is, not only was the making of the Shemana Mishcha Nes, the way it was used throughout all the generations, it was all Maisenesim, and that's where our Gemara picks up. Tan Rabbi Yehuda be Rabbi Eloi, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Eloi taught this price that the Shemana Mishcha Shasa Moshe B'Midbar, Maisenesim Nasabo Mitchil V'Yatzof. The Shemana Mishcha that Moshe Rabbeinu made in the Midbar was Maisenesim from beginning to end. The whole thing was Maisenesim. Shemitchil Lohoi Bola Shnema Solog Shnema Shemin Zayis Hin. First they only had Shnei Masur Lug, they had a Hin. A Hin is Shnei Masur Lug. So Im Lasuch Ba Esei Ikarin, if you want to use this to put on the Ikarin, on these roots, on these herbs, Lo Hayibo Sipek, there never would have been enough. Valachas Kama V'Kama, and certainly it wouldn't be enough, because Sha'ar Bolea, because the fire when you cook it is going to be Bolea, son of the Shemen, V'Aitzim Bolim, and the wood is going to be Bolea, son of the Shemen, V'Yorah Bola'as, and the pot that you cook it in is going to absorb some of the Shemen. And still you have to have enough shemen left over to anoint the Mishkan and all of the kelim, Hashulchan v'chol kelav, the Shulchan and all the associated kelim, HaMenorah v'chol kelah, the menorah and all the associated kelim, umimenu nimshku Aaron kohen gadol levanav kol shivus yimei miluim, and you still needed enough oil to anoint Aaron and his children for the entire shivus yimei miluim, umimenu nimshku kohen gadolim lachim, and throughout all the generations you still had to have enough left over to anoint the Kohanim Gedolim and Melachim throughout all the generations. Obviously, this could not have worked b'derech hateva. This was clearly entirely miraculous that this worked. And the Panim Yafos raises the question: wait a second, if you needed a nes to make the Shemen HaMishcha, why does the Torah have to tell us don't make Shemen HaMishcha? There's an isra in the Torah that we're not allowed to make b'maskunta. We're not allowed to make with the same ingredients our own Shemen HaMishcha. Well, of course we couldn't. Meaning, if it required a nes in order to make it in the first place, why do I need it? Sivoy in the Torah, don't do it. Obviously, I can't do it if it's impossible. Meaning, leman diyamar, that they would cook it in the oil and that it required a nes to make it. So he says that maybe even according to the shita that they would cook the shemen with the spices. Maybe even he would hold that it's kosher if you do it the other way. He just thinks that this is the way that they would do it lechatchila, but it would still be kosher if you do it the other way. And therefore, we still need an iser to tell me not to do it the other way. In the way that it could be done shalom b'derech neis, we have to be told not to do it in that way. There's also a question that Rishonim asked, the Tosfos HaRosh in Maseches Horios raised the question: why is it mutter to be Moshe to be Moshech Malachim using the Shemana Mishka? Pasuk says Asher Yitin Mimenu Alzar V'Nichras Me'amav, that it's a chiv kares to put it on a zar, to use the Shemana Mishka on a zar. A melech is not a kohen; he's a zar. We're going to see later in the Gemara. We have two rayas from Psukim that a kohen cannot be a melech. So isn't the, by definition, isn't it using it for a zar? So the Tosfos Arash say that we dash from the pasuk al basar adam lo yisach, and we dash an adam v'lo melech, that the pasuk is specifically saying not to use it on adam, but means regular adam. But melech is not included. The Gemara in Megillah has such a similar drash. It says b'kom aleinu adam, adam v'lo melech, that Haman Arasha was not a melech. It's a reference to Haman Arasha, b'kom aleinu adam, that some adam, some guy went after us. So that was a reference to Haman Arasha, because he was some guy. He wasn't a melech. So anyway, the Rishonim work on that issue of how the melechim, how kings were allowed to be anointed the Shemana Mishka. Says the Gemara. Now it's going to just tell us some guidelines in terms of who got to use Shemana Mishka and who didn't. So melech b'tchila ton mashicha, someone whose father was not a melech and he was the first one in the family lineage to be a melech, he requires mashicha b'Shemana Mishka. Melech ben melech ain't ton mashicha. Melech ben melech does not require my time, huh? Kumashcheu kizehu. So the Bryce of Darshans, it says kizehu zeton mashicha vein benoton mashicha. This guy requires mashicha, the first melech, but not his children. Aval koin gadol ben koin gadol afilu arasaradaros ton mashicha. But koin gadol ben koin gadol, even up until 10 generations, and really even more than that, forever and ever, you always require mashicha for koin gadol. Vekulo kaim lasu davo ado duchsiv shemen mishchas kodesh yezeli ledorasechem. Part of the miracle of the Shemana Mishka is even after using it so many times, all of it is still going to be there, la sodavo, for future use. Says the Brice, we're only anoint kings by a spring of water. It's a simon bracha to go by a spring of water. That's what some say. That's why we go to a body of water for tashlich, that Rosh Hashanah is all about malchus of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So when you anoint a melech, you go by a body of water to anoint a melech, right? So we only dafka has to be by a body of water. Shenemar pasuk says v'rekavta mashlomo b'ni al hapirda. Asher leave a horad temos al gichon umashachos hashem tzaduk hakoyin v'nasan navi lemelech al Yisrael, and etc. So the mashicha of the melechim dafka is by the mayim, by the megichon. Ein moshe melech ben melech el mivnei machlokas. Whenever it comes to a melech ben melech, the only time we would ever anoint a melech ben melech with the Shemana Mishka is mipnei machlokas, is to deal with machlokas. What does that mean, to deal with machlokas? So there's machlokas Rashi and Tosos. Rashi and the Rambam rather. Rashi in Krisos and Daf Hayomid Beis writes that when there's Shalom be Yisrael, the Malchus goes be Yerusha, and there's no requirement for any Mashicha. But when there's Machlokas, then there's no Yerusha, and we need Mashicha. The implication of Rashi is that when there's Machlokas, Yerusha doesn't happen automatically, meaning the Malchus doesn't pass over automatically. And the only way to make a Melech is by doing a Mashicha of a Melech. The Rambam, in the first parak of Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, and in his Perush HaMishnayos to Krisus, says different. He says that no, it always goes be Yerusha. If there's a son for it to go be Yerusha, so the Malchus is going to go be Yerusha. Elamai, whenever there's a Machlokas, whenever there's some debate as to who the melech should be, so in order to create shalom in Klal Yisrael, we do a mashicha to sort of finalize it. We say, look, we use the Shemana Mishka on this guy. He's got to be the king, and that quiets down the machlokas. That's meant to quiet down the machlokas. The Avnei Nezer has a very long kuntras on the idea of Yerusha in Rabbanus. He has a long tshuva about whether Rabbanus can pass down Yerusha. So a lot of his discussion centers around other things that go be Yerusha in other Raros that go be Yerusha. So he discusses all the different shittos in Rishonim about a melech ben melech, and about how that works as well. So in the Avnei Nezer in Yerodeh and Simon Shin Yud Beis, he asks on the Rambam, Mipnei Machlokas, we're allowed to use the Shemana Mishcha? Is that how are we allowed to violate Me'ila just to keep a Machlokas quiet? Meaning it sounds like Me'ikra din really goes be Yerusha anyway. But Mipnei Machlokas, what does that mean? So he has a whole different mahalik. He thinks that Mipnei Machlokas does not just mean stam to keep everybody quiet. He says that in Dine Yerusha, that the things can change after the original Yerusha that will show that Lemafreya, the Yerusha, was really different. He says, if let's say an Ubar is not Yoresh together with the other brothers, but then if afterwards he's born, so Lemafreya will undo the whole Yerusha and he will take a Chelek together with everybody else. Or if afterwards he was born and there were no other siblings and the Avadim got, he will take everything that the Avadim got because now he's a person, now he's born. Sometimes the Mafreya, something could happen that will change the whole Yerusha. So he says the same is true by the Malchus. The Malchus goes to Yerusha automatically, but if all of Klal Yisrael agrees that it should be a different son, that's the Melech, so then the Mafreya will turn the whole thing around and it will be that that person is the one that really yarshined it. The only way to finalize it, to stop that from happening, is by using the Shemana Mishcha. When they use the Shemana Mishcha, that's what stops it in its tracks. And that's why it's not an issue of violating Me'ila on the Shemana Mishcha. No, we actually need the Shemana Mishcha to determine who the king is going to be to solve any future problems. That's how the Avnei Nezer writes in the Tshuva. It's a Gevaldik, a Chiddush, but that's what he writes in a Tshuva. So it's all Mipnei HaMachlokas. And therefore, the Gemara gives several examples. Mipnei Ma Nimshach Shlomo, why did Shlomo need Shemana Mishcha? His father was the king. So Mipnei HaMachlokas Shal Adoniyo, because Adoniyo said, Beferish Ani Amloch, I'm going to be the king. So we had to quiet that machlokas down. Similarly, Yoash also was the son of a king. So and nevertheless, why he required the Shemana Mishcha Mipnei Asal Yohu, because of Asal Yohu who wanted to take away any zecher of the Melucha and take it for himself. And Yehoachaz, who was the son of Yoshiyahu, also required Shemana Mishcha Mipnei Yehoyakim Achiv Shaygadol Menushtei Shana, because he had an older brother that people could have said maybe should have been the king. Why should it go to the younger brother? Yehu became needed to be Nimshach b'Shemana Mishcha mipnei Yoram because of Yoram ben Achav who we took the Malucha from. So whenever there was some debate over who the next leader is going to be, that's when we need the Shemana Mishcha. Lo king Ksiv. The Gemara says, wait a second, how can you say Yehu is Nimshach b'Shemana Mishcha lo ken ksiv kumish hacheu ki zehu, and we darshan zeton Mashiach vein Malchei Yisrael to the Mashiach, that Malchei Yisrael don't require Mashiach, so if they don't require Mashiach and we're Moshech them anyway, so that would be a violation of Me'ila. So how could Yehu, who's from the Malchei Yisrael, how could he have had Mashiach done? He doesn't get Mashiach, he's not from the Malchus Beis David, he's from the Malchei Yisrael. Ella says the Gemara, Yehoachaz mipnei Yehoyakim Achiv shayigad v'menushtei shanim. What the Bryce is really referring to is that Yehoachaz had Mashiach because of Yehoyakim, his brother, who was 2 years older than him. So how could it be that Yehoachaz was Nimshach b'Shemana Mishcha v'lo Yoshiyahu Gnazo? Didn't Yoshiyahu, his father, wasn't he already gonez the Shemana Mishcha? Meaning when he hid the Aron, if you assume the Shemana Mishcha was hidden together with it, so it was hidden a generation earlier. So how did he have the Shemana Mishcha? So Ada Amra, that's why you have to say that Ba'aparsimon Nimshach. It wasn't the real Shemana Mishcha. They were using some imitation oil. So that's what you could say about Yehu also. That Yehu in Achinami, he was from the Malchei Yisrael, he could not have had the Shemana Mishcha. They used some other oil just to make it look like the Shemana Mishcha. So what you have to say, I saw somewhere, one of the Achronim suggested, is that, well, what did it accomplish then? I mean, if the whole point of the Shemana Mishcha is to quiet down the Machlokas, look, we're using the Shemana Mishcha and this guy, he's got to be the king. Well, if you just stop going and taking some random oil and you're using it, how's that going to help? So they didn't tell anybody. They didn't tell anybody that it was a trick, that they weren't using the Shemana Mishcha. That's how we got confused, that they thought that Yehu had the Shemana Mishcha. No, it wasn't Shemana Mishcha for real. It was just a trick to quiet down the Machlokas. Ein Moshech HaMelech Me'ela Min HaKeren. You're only Moshech HaMelech using a Keren. Shaul V'Yehu Nimshchu Min HaPach. But there was a pach that they had the oil in when it came to being to anointing Shaul and Yehu. Haysa malchus and malchus averes, and because of that, their malchus didn't last because you have to use dafka a keren to take it out of a horn. David uShlomo nimshachu min hakeren, haysa malchus and malchus kayemes. David and Shlomo were nimshach from a keren, and their malchus lasted. Ein moshchum kohanim melachim. We're not allowed to be moshech a kohen as a king. Kohen is never allowed to be a king. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Antundaria, name of a place. Al shem lo yosher shevet Yehuda. Why can't you have a kohen be the king? Because the pasuk says that lo yosher shevet Yehuda, that only shevet Yehuda is allowed to have this srara of being a king. No other shevet is allowed to have this srara. So it's not only about kohanim. It's about anybody but shevet Yehuda is included in the iser. Amr Rabbi Chiya Baradis. Rabbi Chiya Baradis says, "I have a different pasuk." L'man yarech yamim al mamlachto hu uvanav bekerav Yisrael maksiv basrei. What does it say right after that? Lo yela kvarim alavim. So you see, kol shevi levi chelik v'nachla. That right afterwards says that kvarim alavim don't have a chelik v'nachla. So it teaches us that shevi levi doesn't have a chelik v'nachla in not just in Eretz. So they don't have a shevi v'nachla in the malchus. That's what it's referring to. So it's dafka kohanim are excluded. So what's the nafkamina between the two psukim that we quote? Well, one pasuk excludes everybody besides for Yehuda. The other pasuk specifically excludes kohanim. So if there's ever a tekufa before the Malchus Beis David, let's say, before the Malchus Beis David happened, there's ever a tekufa where there's not going to be Shevet Yehuda for whatever reason, the Chashmonaim or whatever, for whatever reason there's a tekufa where there's not going to be a Malchus Beis David, so the preference will be not to have Kohanim, Dafka not to have Kohanim, to have somebody else other than Kohanim. That's the whole discussion in the Rishonim, whether the Chashmonaim, whether it was a good thing that the Chashmonaim took over the Melucha, or that was a bad thing. Okay, that's a Rambam Ramban. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hu Yochanan, Hu Yehoachas. Once we mention some of these names in Divrei Yamim, so Rabbi Yochanan says, Yochanan, the Bechor that's mentioned in Divrei Yamim, is Yehoachas. Vaksiv HaBechor Yochanan, but it says HaBechor Yochanan, so if he's Yehoachas, how could we say that Yehoyakim was Gadol Me Yehoachas? We said Yehoyakim was older than him by 2 years, and that's why it was a whole controversy whether he should be the king. What do you mean? If the Pasuk says that Yochanan was the Bechor, so if Yochanan is Yehoachas, how could he have been the Bechor? So he says, no, Bechor Lamalchus. It means that he was the first one to be the melech amongst his brothers. That's what it means that he was the Bechor. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, who Shalom, who Tzidkiyahu? Shalom, when it says that the Shlishi was Tzidkiyahu, the Revi'i was Shalom, the third son was Tzidkiyahu, the fourth one was Shalom, they're the same person. Vaksiva, Shlishi Tzidkiyahu, Revi'i Shalom. How could they be the same person? One's the third son, one's the fourth son. So Shlishi Latoldos, Revi'i Lamalchus. No, he was the third son, the fourth one to become the melech. Tzidkiyahu, Shetzidikal of Midas Adin. Tzidkiyahu is so called because his name is Kishmo Kenhu, because he was Matzdikal of Midas Adin. When his children were slaughtered in front of his own eyes and he became blinded, he said Tzidik Adin. Shalom Shabiyamav Shalom Malchus Beis David. Shalom is called Shalom because during his days the Malchus Beis David finished and never came back. To this day, lo Shalom Havishmei, lo Tzidkiyahu Havishmei. But his name was neither really Shalom nor Tzidkiyahu. Those were names that referred to things that happened in his lifetime. Ella Metanya. His name was really Metanya. Hado Dixiv. I had a Talmud once. Metanya. Hado Dixiv. Ayamlech Melech Bavel Es Metanya Dodo Tachtav Ve'asi V'Shmo Tzidkiyahu. So it refers to Metanya and it says Ve'asi V'Shmo Tzidkiyahu. So you see that it was the same person. Now we're going to go into the measurements of the Aron. How big was the Aron? What had to fit in the Aron? How did everything fit in the Aron? There is all sugya and Talmud Bavli about this as well, toward the end of the first parak of Maseches Basra. It's not so clear to me that the Bavli agrees with the Yerushalmi about how this all plays out. I seem to remember the Bavli different. Didn't have a chance to really look through it carefully recently, but I seem to remember it a little bit differently. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ba'amos shel shisha tefachim haya aron asui. So Rabbi Yochanan says that the aron was made with amos of shisha tefachim, meaning what's a shaykh machlokas, how big the aron was? The Torah says how big it was. It goes through the exact dimensions, 2.5 amos long. So we know how big it was. Amos white. We know exactly how big the Aron was. Yeah, but how big were those Amos? If the Amo was an Amo Bas Shisha Tvachim, it's going to be different than if the Amo was an Amo Bas Chamisha Tvachim. So Rabbi Yochanan says the Amos that we describe in the Torah are 6 Tefach Amos. So Man Tana Ba'amos Shal Shisha Tvachim, Reb Meir, that goes like Shitas Rabbi Meir. Ditnan Reb Meir Omer, Kol Amos Hayu Bebenonios. All the Amos were Amo Benonis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Amos HaBinyan Shisha, Shal Kelim Chamisha. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, whenever we're talking about an Amma in terms of the actual structure of the Beis HaMikdash itself, those are 6 Tefach Amos. But when we describe the size of Kalim, those are 5 Tefach Amos, describing the size of Kalim. So now let's get into the actual Aron. Al Daite Rabbi Meir, according to the Sheet of Rabbi Meir, Du Amar Ba Amos Shal Shisha Tefachim Haya Aron Asui, that says that the Amos of the Aron were 6 Tefach Amos, Orko Shal Aron Chamisha Asur Tefachim. So the length of the Aron was 2.5 Amos, 2.5 times 6 is 15. There were 15 Tefachim long. Amsa Ashita va'amsa Ashita. Each Amma was 6 Tefachim. Upalgus Amsa Tlasa. And then a half an Amma was another 3. That's how you get 15. Va'arba Luchos Hayibo. They had 4 Luchos in the Aron. The 2 Luchos that were not broken and the 2 Luchos that were broken were all placed in the Aron. Shnaim Shlemim Shnaim Shvurim. Dechsev Asher Shibarta v'samtem ba'aron. That even the Luchos Asher Shibarta are samtem ba'aron. You have to place them in the Aron. Haluchos Hayukol Echad ve'echad. Orko Shisha Tvachim Rachbo Shisha. Each of the Luchos was a 6 by 6 Tefach cube, but that's what it sounds like, but that's not, it's going to be clear from the Cheshbon and the Yerushalmi that that's not what it means. What it means was that when you put the four luchos next to each other, you had 2 6 by 6 tefach cubes, because each of the luchos was 6 tefachim by 3 tefachim, was only 3 tefachim wide. So you'd have 2 luchos, and then right behind them, the other 2 luchos, you'd have 12 tefachim by, you'd have 12 tefachim by 6 tefachim, because you'd have 6 tefachim of length for each of the luchos, and it went too long, and 3 tefachim of width, and it went too deep. So it was 12 tefachim by 6 tefachim when all 4 luchos were placed next to each other. So v'tein arkon shel luchos la'arko shel aron. So you put the length of the luchos along the length of the aron. So it was, the aron was 15 tefachim long. The luchos were 12 tefachim long. Simple mathematics. And shtayr shem shlosha tefachim. You're going to be left with 3 tefachim. Tein mehem chatzi tefach l'kol kosel. Now the width of the walls of the aron itself, each took up a half a tefach, yishtayr shnei tefachim l'sefer Torah, and you're left with 2 tefachim to put the sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote in the aron as well. Rechava shel aron tisha tefachim. Now let's figure out the width. The width was 9 tefachim. Dechsev amav v'chetzi rachbo. That it says in amav v'chetzi. So how do you have amav v'chetzi being 9 tefachim? Amsa ashita, one amma is 6 tefachim. Upalgus amsa tlasa, and a half an amma is another 3 tefachim. So 6 plus 3 is 9. Varba luchos hayubo. The 4 luchos were in the aron. Shnayim shleim, shnayim shvurim. 2 that were shalem and 2 that were broken. Dechsev asher shibart v'samtem ba'aron. Like we said before, v'aluchos hayikol echad v'echad. Arkan shisha tefachim v'rachban shisha tefachim. And the luchos, when arranged next to each other, were 6 tefachim. So were 6 tefachim in width. So tein rachban shaluchos the rachban shalaron. Put the width of the luchos across the width of the aron. Nishtayir shem shloshet tefachim. So you have a 9 tefach wide aron, 6 tefach wide luchos. So you're left with 3 tefachim. Chatzi tefach mikan lekosel zeh, v'chatzi tefach mikan lekosel zeh. Half a tefach for each of the walls. Utefachayim l'shilut makom shesefer Torah munach. And then you have 2 tefachim of empty space to give you a little bit of wiggle room to get the sefer Torah in and out of the aron. You need a little extra space. Now in the Gemara Bava Basra, goes through this whole cheshbon, it discusses how the Sefer Torah was rolled, and it gets into pi, and how we do the cheshbonos of the circumference and the diameter of a Sefer Torah. We don't get into that now, we just leave it for granted that the Sefer Torah fit. Sefer Torah fit in those last 2 tefachim, and you have a little bit of wiggle room on the side of the width of the aron. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar ba'ama bas chamisha tefachim ha'aron. So he says, no, the aron was made with amos. When the Torah describes the amos of the aron, there are 5 tefach amos that we're describing. Mantan ba'ama bas chamisha tefachim. Rabbi Yehuda, that's assuming like the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanin Taman, Rabbi Yehuda Amar amos habinyan shisha shel akelim chamisha vehein aron klihu. That Rabbi Yehuda is one that said that the amos of the binyan are 6 tefachim. The amos of the kelim are all 5 tefach amos, and aron is one of the kelim, so it's clearly amos of the kelim. Al daiti to Rabbi Yehuda, according to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, do amar ba amos shel chamisha tefachim haya arko. So he said that the length was the length of the aron was this, that we're using 5 tefach amos haya arko also shneimas or tefach umechza. The full length of the aron of 2.5 amos was only 12.5 tefachim. Dechsev amasayim vechetzi arko amos chamisha v'amos chamisha says it was 2.5 amos. So each amos 5 tefachim. Palgus amsa, the other half an amma was trey upalig, was 2.5. So that's how you get 12.5 along the length. V'arba luchos hayibo, and you had 4 luchos inside of it. Shneim 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 shvurim, 2 shalem and 2 broken. Dechsiv asher shibarta v'samta barim. V'aluchos hayikol echad v'echad arkon shisha tefachim. V'rachman shisha tefachim. And the luchos were 6 by 6 tefachim again. Not that each luach was really a cube, because each of the luchos was really only 3 tefachim wide, but when arranged next to each other, 2 in front, 2 in back, you will then have 6 tefachim of width and 12 tefachim of length. But wait a second, now you only have 12.5 tefachim, this is the length of the entire aron, measured from the outside, including the walls of the aron. And you're only going to have 7.5 tefachim of width, so it's going to be a little tighter now to fit everything in. So tein arkon shaluchos l'arkon shel aron. You put the length of the luchos across the length of the aron, v'nishtayr shem chatzi tefach, and you have a half a tefach left. Etzba lekosel mikan, ve'etzba lekosel mikan, an etzba for each of the walls. Now, previously we said we had a chatzi tefach for each of the walls, but we don't have that kind of room left, so we have to have an etzba for each of the walls. One of the achronim I saw points out that maybe this is totally in the machlokas that we're about to learn. There's a machlokas about how the aron was made. Was it made with 3 boxes, one put inside of the other, or was it one solid box that was just lined with a very thin layer of gold? If it was a gold box, a wood box, and a gold box, so then you could say that there was some thickness to the wall, that it was a chatzi tefach of thickness for each of the walls. But maybe if you say that it was one box and it was just lined with such a dachistic layer of gold that you couldn't have had almost no thickness to it, so then the entire wall may have only been a thickness of an etzpah. So the two machloksim may be tali zebizeh. So that's along the length. Rachva shel aron, what about the width of the aron? Shiva tfachim amechsa, so it was 7.5 tfachim tchsiv amav chetzi rachva. The pasuk says that it's 1.5 amos. So amsa chamsha, one ama is 5 tfachim, upalgus amsa trey upalig, and a half an ama is 2.5 tfachim. Varba luchos hoyibo shneim shleim shneim shvurim, you had 4 luchos in it, 2 complete ones, 2 broken ones, dechsiv asher shibarta v'samtan baron, and haluchos hayukalechad vechad arkan shish tefachim rachma shish tefachim, the luchos had to run across 6 tefachim of width, tein rachma l'rachma shal aron, so run the width of the luchos along the width of the aron, v'nishtayu sham tefach umechza, and you're going to be left with a tefach umechza, you're going to be left with 1.5 extra tefachim, etzpa l'kos l'mikan, the etzpa l'kos l'mikan, 1 etzpa for each wall, chatzi tefach mikan, v'chatzi tefach mikan, l'shi. And then you have the amount of wiggle room that you have is a half of tefach left on each side in order to take out the luchos if you ever needed to. Not that they ever would, but in case there was ever an esat tzorich to take out the luchos, a little bit of wiggle room. Now, previously, in the previous shita where we said it was 15 tefachim long, was am bashisha tefachim, according to shita Shav Meir, the wiggle room wasn't for the luchos. The wiggle room was to remove the Sefer Torah. If they ever needed to check the Sefer Torah, Shavi Azara, to the Sefer Torah, Sheba Aron, to see for accuracy or whatever, so that they needed the wiggle room. But according to this, there was no Sefer Torah in the Aron. There was no room for a Sefer Torah in the Aron. They only had the luchos, so the wiggle room wasn't necessary for a Sefer Torah because it didn't exist. How did Bitzal make the Aron? Meaning, what was the construction of the Aron like? So Rabbi Chanina Amar, Shalosh Tevas Haso, there were 3 boxes. Shayim Shel Zav Ach Shaleitz, 2 of gold and 1 made out of wood. Nasan Shel Zav B'Shaleitz, Shaleitz B'Shel Zahav, V'tzipohu, as they say. He put the wood into the gold one and a gold one into the wood one, so it was 3 layers, and then he lined the outside, the upper surface, with gold so that you didn't see any of the wood. Why does it have to say titzapenu again? To tell me that even the top layer where you might see the wood from the middle box sticking on top, he covered that with gold as well. Rabbi Shimon Lakish disagrees. He says no, teva achas asav v'tzipau. He made one box and he lined it with a very thin layer of gold. What's the extra word titzapenu? Between each of the boards, they would cover it in gold. Also, the boards that were put together to make this box. So between the boards on the seams, it was covered in gold. Also, before the boards were even put together, so it was each of the boards were entirely covered in gold. That's what titzapenu means, but it can't just mean the top surface, because according to this sheet, there was no top surface of wood that was visible. The whole thing was dipped in gold. The whole thing was covered with a very thin layer of gold. Okay, now we get into how the Aseres Hadibros were written. So, Ketzarayu Aluchos Ksuvim, there are going to be 4 different opinions how the Luchos were written. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, Chamisha Aluach Zeh, V'Chamisha Aluach Zeh, that there were 5 Dibros on one of the Luchos, 5 Dibros on the other Luchos, the way we always see it, the way we have it in our own Kodesh, the way, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel was the source of the movie The Ten Commandments, right? That's how they figured it out, to have 5 on one, 5 on the other. Hado d'chsiv, that's what the pasuk says, v'yichtvim al shnei luchos avanim, you should write them on shnei luchos avanim. Well, if you have 10 dibros and 2 luchos, so it makes sense, chamisha luach zeh, v'chamisha luach zeh, that you'll have 5 on one luach, 5 on the other. V'rabbanan amri, asara luach zeh, v'asara luach zeh, the rabbanan say, no, it was 10 on each, that they would write all aseres dibros twice. They wrote all aseres dibros, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote all aseres dibros on one, and all aseres dibros on the other. That's what the pasuk says. V'yagil lechem es briso asher tziveschem lasos aseres hadvarim, and it says, and you take those aseres dvarim and you write them al shnei luchos avanim. So it says asara luach zeh, asara luach zeh. That implies that it's 10 on each of the luchos. third shita, Rabbi Shimon Yochai Omer, Esrim Aluach Zeh, Ve'esrim Aluach Zeh, that there were 20 on each of the luchos, Tuksu Ve'yichtavim al Shnei Luchos Havanim, you write it on the two luchos Havanim, so it's telling us that you write it twice on the two luchos Havanim, you write all the Seres Dibros twice on each of the luchos, Esrim Aluach Zeh, Ve'esrim Aluach Zeh. Some say that it would be, if you turn it upside down, that you could read it also. So you have 10 written from top to bottom one way, and then if you turn it upside down, the other 10 written top to bottom the other way. Rabbi Simai Omer, Arboyim Aluachzev, Arboyim Aluachzev, that each of the luchos was a cube. So you'd have on all four sides of the cube, you'd have the Aseres Dibros. So whichever way you held it, you were able to read the Aseres Dibros. Tuchsiv, Mizeh, Mizehim, Ksuvim, Tatag Roga, which means like a square, that you would have it on all four sides of the square. Chanani ben Achir Rabbi Shomer ben Kol Dibor v'Dibor Diktukeh v'Osiyoseh Shal Torah D'chsiv Memulaim b'Tarshish b'Yama Rabba. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Katavat Matei Adein Karya, when he would get to reading this pasuk of Amar, he would say Yafal Amdeni Chanani ben Achir Rabbi Yeshua, that I was taught very well to equate the luchos with the Yama Gadol, that Maha Yama Zeh ben Gal Gadol, the Gal Gadol, Galim Ketanim, just like by an ocean, between each very large wave, there's a series of smaller waves, Kach Ben Kol Dibor V'Dibor, Diktukeh Avos Yoseh Shal Torah. So too, between each of the Dibros in the Luchos, were all the details of the Torah. As the Beis HaLevi writes in a drasha, printed in the Shalos Shuvas Beis HaLevi, that may have only been by the first set of Aseres Dibros, by the second set of Aseres Dibros, by the second set of Luchos. That was the one Moshe broke. The one that Moshe broke had called Diktukeh Avos Yoseh, and develops the Salma that we would not have required any amelus had we gotten the luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu originally brought down. And Moshe Rabbeinu saw what happens when you give too much to Klal Yisrael on a silver platter, and they get things without any work, without any amelus. So the second anything, they reach incredible levels, they have a Maimon Har Sinai, but the second anything goes wrong, they're a little off in the cheshbon, and they throw everything away, and they do an Egel Azav, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, this isn't going to work. So he throws down those luchos, and instead he brings back luchos that do not have as much detail, and they require a great deal of amelus to be able to get all the diktukim of the Torah, to be able to understand everything in the Torah. I said this over at my brother's Shavu Brachos 17 years ago when my brother got married, and Rav Reuven Feinstein came over to me afterwards, and he said, it doesn't sound that way from the Psukim. It says Karishonim, that the second luchos were Karishonim. Beis HaLevi says that way. So, okay, so Beis HaLevi has Midrashim and whatever, he has many rayas that this is in fact the case. Am Rabbi Tanchuma, Iskash is coming Rabbi Pinchas, he said, I asked in front of Rabbi Pinchas, Asya Rabbi Yehuda, that from the Pesukim, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda that the Sefer Torah was not in the Aron. The Sefer Torah was outside of the Aron. Velo Asyuk Reb Meir, and it does not sound like Reb Meir. My time is Rabbi Yehuda Chsiv. Pasuk says, Lokeach Sefer Torah Zev, Samtam So Mitzad Aron Bris Hashem. Take the Sefer Torah and put it Mitzad Aron Bris Hashem. Sounds like it's not in the Aron. Aldaite is Rabbi Yehuda Duamar, Hechon Ay Sefer Torah Nasun, Kimin Gluskia, Asuyla Mibachutz, Vaya Sefer Torah Nasun Besocho, that there was this extra box outside of the Aron, and that's where the Sefer Torah was. My time is Reb Meir, what's the reason for a mayor? The chsiv nasates hakabaros ala aron milamala vela aron titei nasaedus asher etena elecha. Why does Reb Meir say that the Sefer Torah was munach in the aron? Because the pasuk says you put the kaparis on the aron milamala, and in the aron you put asaedus asher titei elecha. Al daiti Reb Meir duamar ein mukta mukher b'torah. Reb Meir will read it that the pesukim aren't written exactly in order. Ela vela aron titei nasaedus asher etena elecha va'achar kach v'nasates hakabaros ala. First put the Eidus, which means the Torah, and then put the covering of the Aron on top of it. So Rav Pinchas b'shem Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, HaTorah sh'nasan la HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. Rav Pinchas says in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu, nasan la eish levana charusa be'eish shechora. He gave it to him as a white fire inside of a black fire. He eish muvlelas be'eish. It's a fire consumed by another fire, or subsumed inside another fire. Chatsuva that it's made from Eish, and there's Eish on top of it. So the Torah is full of fire. That's what the Gemara says at the beginning of Maseches Tainis, that Talmidei Chachamim, they have Ritcha D'Oraisa, because the Torah is all Eish. So since it's all Eish, when Talmidei Chachamim get all excited, it's because of the Ritcha D'Oraisa. Oh, yeah.